content. Okay, and we're realizing how all of these descriptors of love are actually descriptors of who Jesus is. That Jesus is kind, that Jesus is patient, and that Jesus is content, and most importantly, how Jesus is love. And so our goal as Christians is to continue to being as Christ-like as possible. Therefore, our goal is to model these descriptors of who Jesus is in our own lives. And so let's just read that passage one more time. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. It says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And so today we're going to be focusing on that second half of verse 5, where it says, love is not easily angered, and it keeps no records of wrong. And so the descriptor of love that we're going to be focusing on is the descriptor of forgiveness. And so before we dive into this topic, I want to address a few things. Okay, this topic is such a huge topic in churches and in just the world alike. And the reason why is it's because it's something that's so difficult to do. It also, rightly so, is a very sensitive subject to some people. Just because some of the things that have happened to them or things that they've experienced, hurts that have happened. And it's also a very important subject to Jesus, as we can tell all through the Bible talks about forgiveness. And so it's important to us too. And so some of you may feel like what I'm about to say is going to be impossible for you to do, and I shouldn't be asking you to do this. Okay, and some of you might walk away angry. And my goal is not to make you angry or to diminish the hurt that some of you have gone through. My goal is to present what the Bible says on the topic of forgiveness, what it asks of us Christians to do with it, how it can relate to our lives, and how through Jesus we can find forgiveness for every hurt we've experienced. And I want to leave room for the Holy Spirit to speak, to convict, and to work, because only He has the right to do that. So please, please hear me in that. I just hope that Jesus will use this hard topic to speak to all of us about forgiveness and just teach us something today. And so what is forgiveness? All right, the definition of to forgive is to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. Okay, this definition makes it seem so easy and straightforward, you know, but we all know that it isn't. So why is forgiving someone so hard? C.S. Lewis, in a statement, explains the exact tension between the idea of forgiving someone and actually forgiving someone. He says this, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. It's so true. It's easier to speak about forgiveness or the idea of it, but once you have someone that you actually have to forgive, it becomes really tough. So luckily there is someone who teaches on forgiveness but has also walked through forgiving people, and that man is Jesus. And so what does the Bible say about forgiveness? Okay, in Matthew 6, 14 to 15, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explained the importance of forgiveness. He says this, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so you can see and you can sense the strong importance Jesus is putting on forgiving people. Okay, as well, Paul, who walked out in the Spirit and who did much of the work that we see in the New Testament, writes to a church in Colossae about true Christian living and what it looks like to live as Christians in today's day. And so in Colossians 3, 12 to 13, he says this, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one of you has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Again, Paul is teaching on what it should look like to live as a Christian, that forgiveness should mark a Christian. Okay, as well, last example, Luke in his gospel shares the words of Jesus. All right, in chapter 6, verse 37, he says, judge, this is Jesus speaking, he says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Okay, there's plenty of examples all throughout the Bible that teaches us that we should be practicing and walking out forgiveness. And they all have this duality to them. You know, that if we forgive our brother, that Jesus will also forgive us. That's an important thing to note, and we'll talk about that a bit later. But you might be saying, you know, Riley, like, I can't forgive someone because then they'll think that what they did was okay. You know, it's that maybe you'll feel like you're giving them a get-out-of-jail-free card. And so I want to clarify what biblical forgiveness is and what it means. Because sometimes we say we don't want to forgive someone, but we actually aren't talking about biblical forgiveness. No, but something else that we think it means. So let's clear up some misconceptions about forgiveness, all right? So this list I'm about to read you is compiled by a pastor down in the States, and I'm going to clarify a few of them as well. So here we go. Forgiveness does not mean that it didn't hurt. All right, forgiveness does not mean that it wasn't wrong. Forgiveness does not mean that it excuses someone for what they did. Forgiveness does not mean that you are letting people walk all over you. Forgiveness does not mean that you are forgiveness does not mean forgetting that wrong was done. Forgiveness does not mean pretending that you were never hurt. Forgiveness does not mean that you have to be friends again. Forgiveness does not mean that you have to tell the person that you forgive them. Forgiveness does not mean that you have to reconcile the relationship. Okay, this one, I just want to clarify what reconciliation is. Okay, because reconciliation is not the same as forgiveness. Reconciliation requires the other person to come to you with a changed heart and repent and ask for forgiveness, say that what they did was wrong. And even then, reconciliation is a longer process. Okay, there's healing that needs to be done. And there's trust that needs to be built up again. And that can take years and years and years. And so sometimes the relationship cannot be the same as it was before because of the hurt that was done. And that's okay. Jesus does not say to reconcile every broken relationship, but he does say to forgive all those who've trespassed against you. So just remember, those two are very different. Another one, forgiveness does not mean that the negative consequences of sin are canceled. Okay, some people believe that when you forgive someone, that every wrong that they did is gone, that it's a clean slate. But that's not right. Okay, let's say you stole some money from work, all right, and you get caught red-handed, and your boss comes up to you, and you plead with him, and you ask for forgiveness. And the boss is like, you know what, yeah, man, I understand why you did that. I forgive you. I won't hold it against you. Okay, that doesn't mean that they uncuff you, pat you on the back, and send you on your way. No, you still have to pay for what you did. You still have to pay for the consequences of your actions, of stealing. So when you forgive someone, you aren't letting them walk free. They still have to pay for their sins, for their actions that they have committed. All right, and last one. Forgiveness isn't a phrase we say. This is something that we've all thought about or think, you know, that when you're ready to forgive someone, that you're going to be able to walk up to them, you're going to be able to look them in the eye and be like, I forgive you. And suddenly, you know, all the bitterness and everything is gone, and you've forgiven them, boom, it's done. No, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't something that we say or do. We are humans, and we sin. And so words are words, and we can lie with our words. We can say things to people, but on the inside, we're actually feeling different. So we can say to someone, hey, I forgive you. But on the inside, we're still bitter, we're still angry at them. But we're just kind of going to push it down and ignore it. True forgiveness comes from the heart, not the mouth. That's why in our Colossians passage, it says, I'm going to start in verse 13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. But verse 14 here, it says, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. As well, Eugene Peterson's Message translation for 1 Corinthians 5, that second half that we read, it says this, love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. When you forgive someone, it starts in the heart and works its way out. Okay, forgiveness is not something we say. It's not a checklist that we check off when we've done it. Forgiveness is a healing process that starts in our heart. So even though we know all of these things about forgiveness, The real question still remains, why should we forgive? Why should I forgive someone who has done so much wrong to me? This is a very important question to talk about. And so first, let's see the example that Jesus showed us in Luke 23. All right, in this passage, Jesus had first been betrayed by one of his best friends, Judas, to be led over to be slaughtered. Okay, Jesus felt that betrayal. And as well, Peter, who was also one of the closest disciples, denied even knowing Jesus 3 times. Okay, he was a man convicted of no sin in his entire life, no wrongdoing. He was falsely accused, convicted unfairly. He was spat upon, tortured, nailed to a cross, and as he hung there, people cheered and were joyful that he was dying. Picture this. This scene of Jesus on the cross, all the torment he went through. People laughing and cheering and watching him die as life left his body. And as this was happening, as he was dying, Jesus said these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgive them. This is the most profound statement in the entire Bible on the topic of forgiveness. This passage has so much weight to it. It should cut so deeply. It should take away any excuse that we have for unrighteous anger towards other people. Because after everything that happened to Jesus, okay, every betrayal, every whip, the shame that was cast upon him and his family, the spit, the verbal abuse, the ridicule, and the pain, he told God, "Forgive them. God, wipe the slate clean," that they didn't do anything. That everything that they had ever done to him, gone, forgiven. This is precisely what we must do and say if we follow Jesus. You know, Jesus walked the walk. He experienced the worst of the worst. He experienced the pain that you have walked through and worse. Yet Jesus still shows us that forgiveness should always be given. Father, forgive them. One of the keys of forgiveness is to stop focusing on what others have done to us, and to focus on what God has done for us. Okay, Jesus died on that cross for you and me, and he even died for those who have hurt you. We need to start by turning our focus off of the people that we are angry at and turn it towards Jesus and his sacrificial love that he did for us, recognizing what Jesus did for you, that even though we are steeped in sin, every day we sin, we turn our back on Jesus. The thing is, he would still go to that cross again and again and again and again if it meant saving you. That's how much Jesus loves us. Jesus led by example of what true forgiveness looks like, but he also taught on what forgiveness does for us. Okay, in Matthew 18, starting at 21 to the end. But in verse 21, Peter comes up to Jesus and asks him a question. He says, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Okay, this is already setting us up for the story he's about to share after. Because then he shares this. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. I'm going to put it into our own kind of story that we would understand. So in this story, there's someone who owed his boss a vast debt, all right? And in today's day, this would equal out to about $10.5 billion of debt, okay? It's a ton of debt. And when the boss demanded him for his money, the man begged, he pleaded, he's like, "Have patience on me. Please, like, I can't pay back right now, but if you give me a little more time, like, I'll be able to. Please, just have mercy on me." And so what the boss could have done is he could have thrown him in jail until he could have paid the debt. But instead of doing that, the boss was like, "You know what? I'm going to forgive you of all your debt. $10.5 billion gone. You owe nothing. Just be free." Okay, and soon after this man, after he's just freed, found someone who owed him about $15,000. And when the guy pleaded with him and like asked him for mercy, saying, I can't pay this back right now, but give me a little more time, the man had zero mercy on him and had him thrown in jail until he could pay the debt. Okay, the boss caught wind of this. And in his anger that the man that he had forgiven this massive debt didn't forgive the other man. And so in his anger, he threw him in prison until he could pay his debt. It says that his masters delivered him over to the jailers until he could pay all his debt. And this is important to note, and we'll talk about this in a couple of minutes. But the moral of the story is summed up in a statement that Jesus says at the very end. And he says, this is what my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. I want you to think about this. We are the unforgiving servant in this story. You know, we stand before our Creator, our Lord, our Savior, with our sins piled up in front of us, so high that we can't see over it, so wide that we can't get around it, so heavy that we can't lift it, we can't hide it, we can't move it. It's a mountain of sin. Our sin is like that $10.5 billion in debt that we could never pay back in a million lifetimes. And we stand before God with our sin, with our hands open, saying, God, please forgive me. I can't pay this back. I can't pay this back. Please have mercy. And God, who is merciful, says to us, your sins are forgiven. My Son has paid your debt. He has paid for the consequences of your actions. You owe me nothing. Be free. Can we get up from where we are and we're praising Jesus like, God, you're so good. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. And we go and we see someone that has done us wrong and we snap. We're saying that they need to pay us back for what they did. That we need them to experience what we experienced in order for us to forgive them. We rip them apart with our words for something they posted that we didn't agree with, that kind of poked at us. We continue to hold grudges against someone because we believe we have the right to do that. And because of our unforgiveness towards people, Jesus says in the story that we are turned over to the jailers. But the interesting thing is that the word jailers in the Greek actually means torturers. So because of our unforgiveness for people, we are turned over to the torturers, to be tortured until we can forgive. And so what are these torturers? It's these torturers of bitterness. When we can't forgive someone, this bitterness just eats our insides out. It rots us from the inside so angry that nothing else matters in the world. We are so bitter that this person is still out there. Okay, we're turned over to the torturers of frustration and rage that will have you foaming at the mouth, knowing that the person who did that to you is still out there. Okay, the torturers that make us lie awake in the middle of the night, stewing over what happened and how this person needs to pay for what they did. Okay, maybe you understand what I'm talking about. That you have felt those things, that you are someone who hasn't forgiven and you have been turned over to these torturers of bitterness, resentment, rage, frustration. But when you don't forgive someone, we will be turned over to our own destruction of our unforgiving heart that will suck every bit of joy away from our lives. And so why is this happening? It's because we won't forgive from the heart. So we are overcome by bitterness, frustration, rage, resentment, and more. When we cannot forgive, we end up being the one trapped. We get thrown into prison. It's not the other person. It's not the one who has done us wrong that ends up feeling this way. It's us. Unforgiveness is like digging a hole to trap a person in, but then we end up falling in it instead. A theologian named Lewis Smedes says this about forgiveness. He says, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that that prisoner was you. So this brings us to the main point of biblical forgiveness. And that is when we learn to forgive those who have done us wrong, it sets us free from the prison of bitterness, resentment, and hate that we didn't know we were trapped in. Forgiveness does more for the one who is forgiving than the one who we're trying to forgive. It does more for us than it does for the other person. Because we're no longer held to that pain, but we have been released from it, free from that prison. It's like when you crash on a bike when you were younger. You know, you scraped up your arms, you scraped up your knees, or you're like me and I cut open my arm and I have stitches and I have a scar right here. You've hurt yourself really bad. Imagine that time that you've hurt yourself really bad. Okay, it hurt a lot, right? It was an open wound, it bled, it was painful, you had to keep it clean or else it'd get infected, you know, pouring that hydrogen peroxide in there and you're just screaming at the top of your lungs because of how painful it is, right? It hurts as long as it's open. But eventually you get your stitches or you bandage it up and it heals. But then after, you are left with a scar, like I'm left with a scar right here. Okay, and it's a visible sign that you had a wound. Okay, people can see it and knew that it hurt you. Okay, you can see it and you were reminded of the pain, but it doesn't hurt anymore. It's completely healed. The same is with forgiveness. Okay, when you get hurt by someone, you're left with an open wound. It hurts, it's messy, it's bleeding, it's so painful, and it will cause you pain as long as that wound stays open, as long as you don't forgive that person. And in order to heal that wound, we need the power of Jesus. And through Jesus, we are able to forgive that person. And after you have forgiven that person, you are left with a scar. A memory of what happened. A glimpse of the pain that you went through. But that scar doesn't affect you like the wound did. It doesn't cause you pain. It shows that it was painful. That it caused you pain. But that now that you have forgiven the person, the wrong that they did no longer has power over you. It no longer hurts you. You are freed from its grip. But when you don't forgive them is when you leave the wound open to bleed and to hurt. And when you don't forgive, it just stays open and it can get infected and it hurts more. And that bitterness and that rage and that resentment starts to set in and you're hurting and you're hurting. But the thing is, you're leaving the wound open because you're not forgiving them. But the moment that you come and you're able to forgive is when you begin to heal that wound and it closes up and it becomes a scar, a memory, a sign, a story. But guess what? It doesn't have power over you anymore. It doesn't cause you that bitterness, that resentment, that rage. You're free from it. It's healed. You are healed. Romans 8:1-2 says this, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." Through Jesus, the spirit has set us free. We are able to forgive those who have wounded us because we have been freed. It's not that it didn't hurt. It's not that what the person did was right. But it's that Jesus has forgiven us. And he loves us so much, and so we are able to forgive those who have sinned against us. A pastor, his name is Ray Pritchard, says this about forgiveness. He says, "Forgiveness in his essence is a decision made on the inside to refuse to live in the past. It's a conscious choice to release others from their sins against you so that you can be set free." This is the big one. "It doesn't deny the pain or change the past, but it does break the cycle of bitterness that binds you to the wounds of yesterday." It breaks that cycle of bitterness. It frees you. It gets you out of prison. That's what forgiveness is. So how do we forgive someone who's wronged us? You know, it takes a lot of courage, a lot of strength, a lot of patience, and a lot of Jesus. But there's a way for everyone to experience that freedom of forgiving someone. Again, Lewis Smedes talks a lot on forgiveness, and he has laid out 3 steps on how we can truly find forgiveness and be able to forgive someone. And I want to remind you, these steps aren't easy, okay? It'll be tough to even think about some of these, but through these 3, you'll be able to forgive. So step 1 is we rediscover the humanity of the person who hurt us. That simply means that without diminishing their sin, we admit that they are sinners just like we are. We've all fallen way short of perfection. Okay, Christian or non-Christian, that means that we make stupid choices sometimes, whether we know it or not. No one is perfect. Okay, no pastor, no leader, no friend, no family member. None of them won't make mistakes that will sometimes hurt those around them. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So take time to remind yourself of the humanity of that person. All right, step two, we surrender our right to get even. I know that some people might just get angry hearing me say those words. This definitely is the hardest step. You know, all we want is to get back at the person, for them to get a taste of their own medicine, to feel how they made us feel. And I understand. I felt the exact same way before. But God calls us to let him seek vengeance on our behalf. Romans 12, 19 says, "Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." You know, it's hard to leave payback to someone else, but just remember that God is a just judge. Injustice never gets overlooked by him. In Revelation, it says that on the day of judgment that everyone will be judged according to what they have done on this earth. You know, and I'm scared for the person who walks up to Jesus and has to explain every hurt that they have caused some people, because Jesus is the just judge and he will seek vengeance on our behalf. So let's surrender our right to get even and let's give it to God. Let him be the judge. Step three, the final step, we revise our feeling towards the person. Okay, this one is also very difficult and it's kind of hard to be able to tell you exactly what to do. But this requires us to let go of the bitterness and get rid of the hatred in our heart. It means walking out what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 44, when he says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Okay, there's someone who I talked to about forgiveness. And they had to forgive someone who had done a really bad thing to them and hurt them a lot. And they're not going to be friends again. But they said that they were challenged by Matthew 5, 44. And they said they had to practice praying for that person. And it wasn't that they wanted to pray for them, and that they wanted God to bless them. They didn't want the person to be blessed. They didn't want them to be even forgiven. They were angry at them. But they were challenged by this verse. And so they did pray for them. And this is what he said to me. He said, "When you literally pray for the goodness of someone who has hurt you, God starts to change your heart and begins to show you his love for that person." So it's hard to hold on to the anger you have for them when you see how much God loves them. And from there is when you are able to begin to bless them and to forgive them. Again, it takes a long time, but that is when. And so these are the steps to forgiveness. Let me remind you again that forgiving someone who has hurt you deeply is impossible. Okay, it's so impossible that it is only possible through Jesus. Okay, it's a supernatural miracle when you're able to forgive someone who has done you wrong, because in our human nature, we don't want to. We're not supposed to. But because of what Jesus did for us and through his forgiveness of our sins, we are able to reach a point where we can forgive others who have done us wrong, just like how our Father has forgiven us of everything that we have done. So as I finish, I just want to leave you guys with two thoughts. Okay, these aren't easy thoughts, but I want you to just to think on them and, you know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you through them. Number one, forgiveness for a Christian is not optional. It's necessary in our lives. Okay, our goal as Christians is to continuously become like Christ. And there's nothing that shapes us more like Christ, like forgiving those who have done us wrong. And so as God has forgiven us, so we also must forgive. So forgiveness for a Christian is not optional, but necessary. And the second thing is, we will forgive to the extent that we appreciate how much God has forgiven us. Remember how much we have sinned against him. Remember how much and how many times he's given us a clean slate, free from that debt, free from that sin. Remember what Jesus did on that cross for you, me, and the person who has hurt us. No matter how much we sin against God, he will always forgive us. He will always cleanse us of our sin and cancel the consequences of our actions. Being a Christian doesn't make this any easier. It actually makes this harder. But we need Jesus. And I'm not asking you to listen to what I have said, but I'm asking you to listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. Let him convict you. Let him speak to you. Let him call you out. Let him identify the people that you need to forgive. Let him give you the power and grace to be able to forgive those who have done you wrong. Okay, draw on his Spirit. Let him be the one to help you. And so lean into him, and you'll be able to forgive and find freedom. Let's pray. Jesus, God, we thank you so much for the work that you did on the cross. Lord, that you came and that you died for all of our sins, Lord. That as people sinned against you blatantly, Lord, and were joyful that you were dying, you said, Father, forgive them. You gave them a clean slate. You gave them a chance to come to heaven to you. And Lord, you extend that to us as well. God, you've given us a clean slate. What you did on that cross has saved us from death, from the consequences of our actions. So Lord, would we know that, Jesus? Would we remember that, Jesus? And would we thank you so much for that? But God, would we also learn to extend that grace that you have given to us and show it to other people? Lord, if anyone is listening who is just filled with bitterness and resentment and can't forgive someone, Lord, right now, would you just overwhelm them with your grace and your love, Lord? Cover them, Jesus. Cover that bitterness and that resentment and that rage, Lord. And would they just feel the grace and the love that comes from you? That you love them so much that you died for them. Lord, and would they be able to reach a point where they are able to begin to forgive those who have done them wrong, Lord. God, I pray for anyone else who hasn't experienced this yet. God, hasn't experienced this bitterness and rage, Lord. And they will, though. It's life. And so, God, I just pray, would you be with them, God? Would you remind them of how much you love them and how you died for them, Lord? And when they come to that point, Jesus, would they not begin to get steeped in that prison of sin, of bitterness, and of resentment, Lord? But would they find freedom through you, God? And so I pray as we go, God, would we just learn to forgive, Jesus? Would we learn to forgive those who have done us wrong, God? Would we appreciate how much you have forgiven us, Jesus? And would we just be all free, God, from the prison of unforgiveness? God, we love you. Speak to us today. God, we give you this day. In your name we pray. Amen. So thank you guys for joining us for our service. We're excited to see you soon for our in-person services, but have a great day.